He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Let's see, fingers crossed. Dr. Brown, are the phones working at Griffin Hospital today?
That was the only time we had a problem with the phone, Melissa.
That's so weird. No, please don't be sorry. Oh, my gosh. If I was sorry for every time technology glitched on this station, I would owe everyone 5 cents. No. I mean, when does that happen? It's just so bizarre. It was just not meant to be. It's
very
okay.
Bizarre. And
it's
It was just random and the phone line. And we know that, you know, it's always difficult with the cell phone. So. There you go.
It's all good. Listen, it's all good. I'm glad you're here. I know, right? Fingers crossed. We'll hold our breath and we'll get through as much as we can today. I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I can't complain. I'm trying to think back to what we were talking about last week because I know I had like 5 different topics to dive into with you. But I do believe we were starting to talk about either monkeypox or COVID or no, Paxlovid. That's it. We were talking Paxlovid because at that time, the president had already contracted COVID again. And you were starting to talk a little bit about how there might be a little bit of like a misconception here, because in the very beginning of COVID, you would say to people, don't bother retesting because you're going to see that you are still testing positive, even though you've done your 7 days quarantine, all of that jazz, and you're done with your fevers and blah, blah, blah. So is that what we're seeing with Paxlovid? Is that why we're seeing these resurgence of a second case?
Yeah, so there's two pieces with Paxlovid. First one is that we need to be really careful about the testing because it's not as accurate as people think. Now, it's accurate to be positive, but it's not necessarily accurate to determine if you no longer have it. So some of the home tests, some of the other tests have a lot of false positives associated with them. So once you're positive, it'll continue to be positive for an extended period of time. And that does not necessarily mean that you're still infectious or that you actually got infected. So that's the tricky part. And remember, PCR testing, which is detecting the genome, the genetic material of the virus, could remain positive for 60 to 90 days. I mean, it's not just going to be positive during that week. That's the first part. The second part is that we are seeing with Paxlovid, and we're seeing it very frequently, is that people are getting it. It's actually, it does have some of its side effects of its own, but it is reducing the course of the illness. The problem is that we have consistently seen when someone gets COVID-19, we have consistency within 90 days after, they're pretty much immune to getting reinfected. If one gets Paxlovid, it looks like that sort of gets thrown out the window. So once you have Paxlovid, the likelihood that you're going to get it again in that 90-day window is more likely that you can get it. Not that you're going to get it, but you could get it. So you still need to be really careful even after, where, again, you could be less careful because you were pretty much immune.
Now, here's my question, and now, as Celine Dion would say, it's all coming back to me now. I think this is where we got cut off last week, because what I find interesting is, like, you take the president's case, or really, I've heard most cases like this with Paxlovid that's really confusing. You test positive, then you test negative, and then you test positive again.
Right.
How does
right.
that happen?
Yeah, that's actually that would be considered to be a false positive. So because these tests are not really designed that way, the likelihood that you can get a negative and then a positive is sometimes lab error. Because to be honest, it doesn't make a lot of sense, even with Paxlovid, to actually have the infection, get treated, be asymptomatic, test negative, continue to be asymptomatic, and continue to test positive. That just doesn't clinically make any sense. So I think, again, we've always talked about this, Melissa, it's really sort of, okay, what does logic dictate? That doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
No. No, it doesn't make a lot of sense. The whole thing to me is just because I hear you, a false positive, I guess, but like, how did it go from positive to negative? Would that be a false negative? Am I getting too confusing now? Like,
no,
I'm just
so the
confused.
negative was probably accurate. And the positive
the second positive was not.
And the positive was false, and that's how it works, because these tests are not really. So a lot of these tests.
Let's get rid of the tests.
Yeah, a lot of these tests.
let's just eliminate them.
It's actually funny because a lot of these tests are not necessarily designed like that. They're really more or less designed to detect or not detect. Are you positive or are you not positive? And they are more likely to be positive and accurate, I should say. They're more likely to be accurate if you have symptoms. So if you have symptoms and you take a test and that test is then in turn positive, then that is an accurate test. If you have symptoms, then you do the test and the test is negative, right, which we saw quite a few times,
so
right?
Times.
It may be too early, right? But then you continue to have symptoms, you test it again, and it's a positive, that previous test was a false negative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See?
All right.
Statistics and laboratory testing, it's a science in itself.
I mean, it is. It totally is. And I don't have a degree in either. So who am I to say I understand anything accurately? I mean, it's I understand where people get confused by it. I think, and you and I have talked about this as well, Dr. Brown, over the years, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
It's just kind of trusting your own body and just being respectful of others. Like, so what I get out of that, what I get out of everything that you just said is, you know, you can test for peace of mind, but really, you know, just kind of stick to the guidelines. If you are feeling those symptoms, I'd imagine really the way to go is to not even wait for like a test result. Like just stay home, it sounds like.
That's correct. That's exactly right. So I think on two fronts, I think, and again, we try to make it easier, right? So the two things that I would say is that, yeah, if you're sick, stay home. You know what? If you're going to test. If it doesn't make sense, then test again. And then really it's important to read when you return to work or return to school or wherever that it's actually you're following the guidelines, which are going to be that 5 days. You know, you're basically saying, okay, you have symptoms, you're out for 5 days. I know if you do go back and your company allows you to go back after that 5 day mark, you wear a mask to complete that 10 days and then you're good to go. It's symptomatology, and that would mean that you don't have fevers anymore and your symptoms are improving.
Dr. Brown is here taking our very latest questions on COVID, monkeypox, whatever's on your mind. So here's a question this morning from Pat. Dr. Brown, a lot of us, this is Pat talking, a lot of us were advised by our physicians or we just made personal decisions to skip the second booster and wait for the Omicron variant booster, which is supposed to be available in the fall. We've all heard that the current COVID variants are much more transmissible, even outdoors. What is your opinion on outdoor dining then? It's a very specific question, but that's a question from Pat this morning.
It could have gone in a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I do know Pat is a very avid listener, so I think he's already heard you address a few times that, that listen, you know, like you're going to encourage the booster. Yes, the Omicron is supposed to be coming in the fall. So obviously this is a very educated listener, and I appreciate that. But yeah, what do you think about outdoor dining, apparently?
It's very interesting. All right, so I'll give you, again, my opinion on dining. So it actually, we can get very specific about it, too. Daytime dining is better than nighttime dining.
What?
So if it's actually true dining, if you're true dining, then it's actually better to eat in the day than at night.
Oh, because it's sun.
Because of the sun.
Hey,
look at me.
All
there
right.
You go. Okay. So, yes, this is actually very susceptible. I mean, listen, we're going to be very specific on this. Because of UV light. Because of UV light, then the viruses, most viruses in particular, this virus is actually very sensitive to UV light. So if you are dining early, then you actually are a little safer. And again, it depends where you are. Depends on sort of, you know, is there a breeze? Is there not a breeze? That actually also has to do with it. So in general, if you're going to compare the two, outside dining versus inside dining is actually going to be safer than inside dining. And again, because of those factors associated with it, you know, you still need to be risky. You still have to be concerned about risk. We do know that people who have it within the first 24 hours of actually them having it, they're very infectious. So spending an extended period of time, you know, sitting next to someone who has it, the likelihood that you're going to get it is actually going to be that much higher. But as I said, it's less likely if you're outside.
Okay. I kind of had this question, too, because I've noticed that more and more people are slowly getting back to masking in grocery stores, masking in churches. I think we're and of course it's not because you're being told to do so. Those establishments are not telling you have to. But I think people are just, I mean, I feel like, you know, you hear the expression, yeah, I sneezed and this happened. But it really feels like everywhere you turn, someone either just contracted COVID or is just getting over COVID or is it just about to get. It's unbelievable.
That's absolutely the issue with this is even though we're seeing Very few admissions related to COVID. I just want to make sure that's really clear that the vaccine is working because people are not getting admitted for COVID. They're getting second. I mean, if they're found to have it or whatnot, I think the issue is that, you know, jobs and work and, you know, where we're actually having employees that are getting it, you know, from social gatherings is the bigger issue that we're starting to see. And the biggest issue is this whole sort of recycling thing. So we know that you can get reinfected. And as I said, if that 90-day window, which if you don't get the Paxlovid, is pretty secure, but a lot of people ended up getting. So if you got to go back to the last sort of major uptick that we have, and that last major uptick was probably January, February. So we're well out of that window, and now we're seeing another uptick, which I'm surprised about. I think this is a little early. I was expecting the fall.
We're at like over 11% right now, and that's not including people who test at home because we don't have those results.
Right.
Like, that's kind of shocking because the last two summers, one with no vaccine available, and then, you know, last summer where it was like we dipped, but then we went back to a high number in the fall. Like, this is the highest summer we've had on record for COVID. Yeah,
and is that related to because it's more infectious, or is that related because we're using less precautions in relation? Because remember, the last 2 years we were sort of much locked down. And then even when we weren't locked down, everybody was really cautious about it. Now, you know, now we're sort of getting back to normal, and, you know, you're taking that risk. And I think people are realizing, well, people know that if they've been vaccinated, you know, even if they get it, it may not be anything major. And I think people are like, all right, fine. You know, I gotta see my family. You know, I have to do what I need to do.
Right.
So we're just gonna have to deal with it. In all honesty, I'm not sure what's gonna happen in the fall. I mean, are we gonna see an uptick? Are we gonna see variations? Are we gonna start seeing the flu? We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Now, do you think, Dr. Brown, the sun is still as effective with the new variants of COVID? Because I was thinking about this, too. Like, in that first summer, you're right, we were all in lockdown and everything. But, I mean, I went to a public splash pad. There were still people around. Like, I can remember. I mean, it's hard to remember what I had for breakfast. But for some reason, COVID is very easy for me to remember, you know, that whole timeline.
I gotcha.
You know, it was a Twilight Zone. But for some reason, it's a very vivid Twilight Zone. And I'm wondering, because we knew with that original variant, like that the sun was killing, you know, if it hit any surface. Mm-hmm. Does that come into question with new variants? Like, is that still a very strong probability?
So the answer is, the answer to that is pretty straightforward, that no. UV is a universal killer, so for viruses. So it will eliminate any virus, any time, doesn't matter about the mutation. So the problem is that, and this comes back to statistics and number of people getting potentially exposed. The issue is that in the last year and the last 2 years, what was happening in the summer is when you got sick, you felt sick. You were really sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you weren't going out into the sun.
Oh, no, it was brutal.
Like, we're not, I have
I
the
couldn't
worst
even get
headache.
To the kitchen. Yeah, no.
I have a terrible headache. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. The new variants actually don't have, I mean, some people are complaining about headaches, some people are getting symptoms, but they don't feel, a lot of people don't feel that bad. Mm. So they feel, you know, got a little runny nose, they have a summer cold, and therefore they're like, well, you know, maybe it's not COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
maybe, well, I don't have it.
You know,
maybe, you know what?
There's
and then there's more exposure.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's more people out that actually have it. So think of the numbers. If there's before there was less people that were out, that's less likely that you're going to get it. Now there's more people out, it's more infectious, and, you know, and now you can get it.
Oh, COVID, sweet COVID.
Oh, COVID.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I didn't even get to talk about monkeypox. I didn't even get to talk about tick-borne illnesses. I mean, we had a whole list of things to talk about, Dr. Brown, but I've run out of time.
Well, we could talk about monkeypox, and we could talk about tick-borne illnesses. We should probably talk about tick-borne illnesses. We're going to run out of the season.
Yes, that's true.
And then monkeypox is probably going to be around for a little while, so we'll have time to talk about it.
All right, so we'll sideline monkeypox. Next week, we're going to start things off with tick-borne illnesses, and I really appreciate that you come on each and every week, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for your
time
this morning.
And again, sorry about that. Sorry for you and the listeners about last week and the phone system,
please.
But we're all good. We'll try to prevent that from happening again.
Please. I'm serious, Dr. Brown. When I say to you that I am the last person you can apologize about tech issues, I literally have tech issues on a daily basis. I don't know how my listeners still stick around, so it's fine. It's all good. If anything, now we're on the same page. You and I, we're here together.
Just very good.
Praying that tech doesn't fail us. All right, Dr. Brown.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
we'll
Melissa.
Talk to you again next week. That's Dr. Fred Brown here of Griffin Health on WICC.